Hello there, I'm Tim and he's John and this is How to Murder Time, a podcast about games and things.
Hello everybody.
Wow, you caught me on the hop there, I almost wasn't really, I forgot what we do.
Yeah.
We've
only been sitting here for the last hour.
I know, I'm still trying to think of the games that I'm going to talk about today. So, I got one.
You played games?
I played games, yes. What? Yes, it's I've Done Things week. I'm going to talk about Rift. We are still going, the Friday group, the Five Rifts Rapid, a guild name whose origins are lost in the midst of time now. We've gone with this whole FRR acronym for many, many games, and I believe the first one was Planetside, where we decided to name our guild after the late departed Nicholas Courtney, the Brigadier from Doctor Who.
He wasn't dead at the time, was he? No.
I can't remember.
Also, in the episode before last...
There's a video clip on YouTube you can find where the quote is used.
No, they used it again a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, fair enough.
But you wouldn't know because that would be on TV and you don't
I don't really do television. No, you of earth of your televisual entertainment. Not my thing. I play computer games instead.
It's not entirely clear what you do with your time. But
I play computer games. I'm playing Rift. I'm playing a lot of Rift over this last week, which I've had off from work as well, which is why I've managed to scrape together enough experiences to talk about on a podcast.
Did you redecorate?
I did redecorate. Thank you for asking. It's a brilliant white in my living room now, ceiling and walls, because I lack the conviction to choose colours.
Did you put any of the vinyl decals I sent you on?
No. I saw you pointing out the massive, like, four meter wide Judge Dredd poster.
Yeah.
Which I think would set the room off nicely and prove an excellent talking point.
It would be a good talking point.
Yeah, but I went with the boring white walls. But I bought a massive new computer desk. Well, I just went to an office supplies place and bought a massive one of them L-shaped desks you find in proper offices.
Have you bought an HDTV yet?
Not yet, no. No, I got a list. I'm working through it. But
are you planning on getting an HDTV?
Well, the previous desk that I did typically spend... Because remember, I spend a lot of time playing computer games. And the previous desk that I had it all set up on had these like metal underside ridges, like arms that hold the thing off. And the way I habitually sit would end up with my thigh crushed into that metal ridge underneath. So every evening when I come away from playing computer games, I'd end up with this massive sort of 1-inch diagonal stripe across the top of my thigh. So I thought, that's not good. I'm a grown up. I can afford furniture. I'm going to sort this.
You moved in, what, a decade ago?
Yes. It's been a while for me to get round to this. But I've taken that step and I've got a fabulous new desk now that doesn't hurt me at all when I play games. So, you know, what more can a man ask for? Yes, Rift. Shall I talk about Rift? So we're still going with the Friday groups. We're doing the dungeons. We've been working towards the sort of meta. They've got the achievements in there. Everything has achievements nowadays. Do a lot of things. Get a tick. Get some arbitrary recognition from people you've never heard of. And we're working towards the Dungeon Explorer one. There's the Dungeon Explorer one, and then there's another one as well, which I can't remember the name of. But basically, do all 10 of the original 1 to 50 dungeons in normal mode and again in hard mode. And we got all of those ticked off. And now we've even managed to chip off a few of us managed to tick off the Rapid Assault meta achievement. So basically, the Rapid Assault achievement is do the dungeon, but in an entirely uncomfortable and reckless manner within a time limit.
Oh.
Yes, I don't approve of this. This is not me.
Uncomfortable and reckless is usual, but the time limit isn't.
Well, it's very much like pickup grouping. I can't imagine a pickup group gets through, if they get through at all without wiping, they'll get the Rapid Assault. The Rapid Assault time limit is about 25 minutes for most of these dungeons, but I think some of them have got more of a time limit than others, and there's particular the Iron Tomb, which actually is a level 15 dungeon, but in doing it in expert mode, it cranks it all up to 15. That was one that we'd had a lot of trouble with before because we're just not managing to get the time done. And I think that's largely my fault because I am quite a conservative, slow but steady wins the race type of tortoise when it comes to this sort of thing.
Do you ever win the race?
We didn't win the race, no. A lot of us hadn't got this achievement. So we decided to just go in there and charge. let's be the rabbit for a change, which sat well with a number of the other members of our regular team, and we just barreled through it, go. I was on tank duty, and I was basically just making sure that I'd pulled the next group before they'd finished the previous group, so we had a continual conveyor belt of AoE whirly death going on. And remarkably, not only did we get the Rapid Assault achievement, but we somehow managed to accidentally tick off about 8 of the boss fight achievements. Each boss fight in expert mode has a number of achievements for doing it in a particular way. Say, for example, kill the main boss without killing any of his adds will give you a special tick. And that sort of generally runs counter to the safest and surest way of killing these bosses. And typically, you deal with adds first. You don't just let them wail on your DPS whilst you're taking the boss down. So There's a lot of the bosses in there. It cranks up. So in expert mode, you get like 6 bosses instead of the 4. There's a couple of bonus ones in there. And they've all got special gimmicky mechanics that you have to make sure that you do without. So, for example, don't let any of the party get more than 3 ticks of a massive damage over time effect that this thing does. Or don't stand in the fire. That kind of thing. And somehow we managed to tick off about 8 of those on this speed clear.
Wow.
Because we were deliberately setting out to not, you know, we're not going to bugger about with each boss. We're just going to kill it as quickly as possible so we can get to the end and get this rapid assault achievement done. And in doing so, I think we worked out the best strategy for a lot of these dungeons is to kill the boss before it can do the mechanic that you have to dodge.
That makes sense, actually.
Yes, yeah, we were wailing on these bosses so insanely fast and brutally that they just didn't have, most of them didn't have a chance to get their big special party piece off, you know? And we find this a lot with the expert mode dungeons. I don't know if that's because we're particularly elite raiders or anything. It's probably and almost certainly not the case.
It does sound unlikely.
Yeah, yeah. But we seem to be blasting through and doing quite well. So we've got a couple of people still, you know, because they were off for some weeks, and still need a few more ticked off on those achievements. But basically, yeah, we're getting it done. The entire guild's reached 60 now.
Wow.
I know, I'm so pleased, because a lot of the more interesting, you know, and group-based activities in that game tend to congregate around the upper levels. It's 60 for the Storm Legion, and then with the Plane of Water stuff that went in, there's a lot of stuff to do at 65 as well. So a lot of the sort of tougher stuff that I've been dreading trying to queue up for pickup groups to do, I'll be able to farm out to the guild instead.
Yeah.
It should be good. So I think it won't be long. The rate we're going, we seem to get a lot of XP when we do a dungeon night as well. We'll do like three or four runs through expert mode dungeons, which are essentially level 50 content, and pretty much everyone levels at least once or twice who isn't already 65. So
yeah,
we'll be there soon. I think another 2-3 weeks and everyone will be 65, you know, absences notwithstanding. And once we've done that, we'll start having a look at some of the end game stuff. There's a whole load, well, there's a master level dungeon setting on the portrait as well, which sounds like a giggle. We have to try that one time. There's a couple of raids in there, raid instances, slivers and raid rifts and things. Now those are nominally designed for 10 people, some of them 20, but I think we could probably short man them with like 7. It'd be all right.
Yeah, be fine.
We've been doing a lot of short manning lately. It's something that my good colleague Teppo there, he seems to, he's very much into the short manning. He doesn't think you need to do exactly what it says on the tin, and often is successful. If you listen to the Emma Mosketeers there, you hear them talking about him and Janara there talking about some of the Elder Scrolls Online dungeons that they do on a regular basis, and they're always short manning that stuff and somehow winning and succeeding. So I'm very much of the by the book school of dungeon clearance. You must have that many number in the party, you know, you must have one of these, and I'm being proven more and more wrong lately. So I mean, we three manned one of these 50 level 50 things, you know, on level as well. We weren't, you know, massively overscaling or anything, but I think it was Empyrean Core, me, Teppo and Torag ended up in there with just the three of us. We thought I was too very, you know, very dubious about the whole endeavor, but no, we piled on through, one DPS, one tank, one healer, and we managed to clear all the way through and tick it off. I think that might have been a normal mode one, but even so I'm looking forward to, so the current sort of stable of in-use dungeon pickup grouping is typically the Nightmare Tide Expert dungeons. It's the NTEs you'll see people LFG-ing for in chat. So I'll be looking forward to getting onto some of that, because I think that some of the top-end gear and the special magic tokens that you get for doing all this stuff are a little bit out of the grasp of the stuff we do already at the moment. But obviously, if people are still leveling up, they don't need that end-game gear just yet. There's stuff to do. It's quite a lot of stuff to do for us, if as long as we keep interested and keep the Fridays going. I've been doing quite a lot of solo stuff as well, very much backfilling, very much filling in the corners, doing quests in zones 20 levels below me just because I quite like to have all the quests done, you know, that kind of thing. I do sometimes scale down to its appropriate content, but sometimes I do like to just womp through a zone 10 levels higher than everything, killing them. I'm quite petty like that sometimes. Yes, I've been looking at the Plain Touch Wilds mostly, which is the new zone they've added. There's a storyline through there. I think there's about 3 acts worth of story there now, sort of mini expansion content, quest chains and so on. Some pretty tough stuff in there. I don't know how they've balanced the Plain Touch Wilds in terms of difficulty and content. I think they are working on the assumption that it is a level 65 zone, but it's tacked on to the neighbouring starter continent. So you can go from like the Droughtlands, which is level 35, through one canyon and way, level 65 content.
You think there'd be a sort of a mixed buffer area?
I think there's a big enough canyon so you don't stumble in there by accident. It's a huge zone. Lots of carnage quests. Not many quest hubs in the traditional sense. sense, though. I mean, I suppose at 65, because they didn't add any more levels when they put Plain Touch Wilds in. So essentially, you'll turn up there at 65 and you will not level through your entire time there. You'll get planar attunement XP for the side progression thing. But on the whole, there's not much more gear to be had, not much more questing XP to be had. So it's more of following the story for its own sake in many ways. But it is quite a tough place. The monsters in there seem to be tuned to be quite a challenge for people who've done, you know, done all the way through the Plain of Water, Tarkin Glacier and stuff. And that's, I don't know if it's a gear thing. Maybe they're expecting everyone going in there to have at least some degree of raiding gear or not, some low-end raiding gear. I don't know. I mean, I've got upper-end crafting gear, which is not quite as good as the starting point for the raid stuff, but having trouble with some of that. I've been experimenting with different specs. I was trying to put together a champion build for the warrior, which is essentially a massive AoE DPS thing. I was experimenting with that today, and it's really, I don't know if I've, because I found a guide, you know, I'm not confident enough to build this stuff myself. Had a look at the guide, built it all as described, and it does a ton of damage, and in a quite a large AoE sort of dealing with groups as easily as you deal with single targets, but there's almost no healing in that build. So I'm assuming that this build guide assumes you've got a group and a healer.
Yep.
In terms of soloing DPS, I think it might be lacking something, so I may have to fiddle around with it a bit. Still going though, still going, still enjoying it. I don't know if there's any kind of move to be looking forwards to other Friday games in the future for the group and stuff, but there's certainly more stuff for us to do in Rift, and I think it'd be a shame to quit Rift now as a sort of social activity just when everyone's finished putting in the hard work to get to the interesting bit, you know? I think we've got a month or two.
Sounds like the perfect time to quit.
Well, it's traditionally been the point at which we've quit in the past. Sort of, but yes, we can certainly find more to do in Rift. But I think it's about a matter of months rather than years. I'm pretty sure they're not going to be dropping any new content fast enough. I think we'll probably have gotten bored of it by the time they add any new kind of zones or whatever. But still going so far. I'm still enjoying it. It's good times.
Hmm.
Over to you.
Okay, I am going to talk about...
Oh, he's got the book.
I made notes.
I do all this off the top of my head, and you can probably tell.
Yeah, but some of us haven't had any sleep all weekend because they were watching Netflix.
Oh, righto.
I am really tired.
What were you watching?
Jessica Jones.
Okay, that's a thing.
David Tennant being incredibly creepy.
Right. Don't you see him as a villain?
No, he's a very good villain.
He's a very good villain, right.
Yeah, his character's basic. It's, remember that episode of Doctor Who where Matt Smith loses his ability to control the people on the bus?
Oh,
It was a bus over a planet somewhere.
That was a Christmas special.
No, not
that. Oh, no.
The one.
Yes. Oh, Midnight it was called.
Yeah, and people started doubting him and didn't listen to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like that, but the opposite.
Oh, right. Fair enough.
Makes no sense. Anyway, yes, I've been playing Uncharted.
Yeah.
See, as part of this gen's console marketing scheme of saying, weren't the games last gen really good? Why don't you play them again?
Is this is for the console which does not have backward compatibility?
This is a PS4 re-release of a PS3 game.
In fact, that's why there's no backward compatibility. They can turn this handle continually.
There's backwards compatibility. Just subscribe to get it on that.
Oh.
But this is the first three games on one disc, so it's incredibly good value.
Okay.
And I've been playing through the first Uncharted.
So this is their big sort of cornerstone original IP, I suppose, for the PS3 and for.
Can we be careful with the word original?
No? Well, say
it
original.
Is their original IP, yes, but there is nothing
you can't buy this anywhere
about
else.
This game.
Yeah.
No, yes, this is the best game series on the PlayStation, although it definitely is not the best game series on the PlayStation.
Mm.
There are better games.
Okay.
But you can't say that because people won't believe you.
I'm very confused now.
Yeah, everyone knows what it is. It's the in the wilderness years when Tomb Raider was rubbish or not coming out, they decided, let's make Tomb Raider with a man, and nobody will notice that it's just Tomb Raider.
Yeah. So, archaeologist with pistols,
not really an archaeologist,
running around tombs and ruins.
He's a amateur numpty. Actually, right. No, he might be a professional numpty. He's that good at
being
a numpty.
Is he being paid for this?
Well, he's trying to get treasure.
He's a looter, basically. Yeah. Yes.
The problem is, Nathan Drake is stupid.
Right.
He is insanely and utterly stupid.
Is he a lovable rogue?
James Bond looks at him and thinks, wow, how does he get through his thing? And James Bond is a guy whose entire plan every time is to get captured.
Get captured, blow the place up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get captured, escape, cause chaos.
Kind of human Trojan horse. Hmm.
Nathan Drake does nothing.
Okay.
He turns up, goes from event to event, destroying wherever he is,
yeah.
doesn't do any working stuff out,
uh-huh.
and then nothing really happens.
Things happen to him and yeah. he happens to be there. Okay.
I'm not a great fan of the storytelling in this first game.
Okay.
It's a good game. I would say it is a good game. It is feeling its age slightly.
Mm.
And
so it handles well, gunplay, puzzle well, element, climbing.
That's the thing.
No?
The gunplay's terrible.
Okay. So in what capacity is it a good game?
The gunplay's terrible.
Yep.
The graphics are dated, but that's fine.
Okay, yeah.
The puzzling is basic Tomb Raider style stuff.
Push block on switch.
The platforming is made hard because the controls suck.
Oh,
and the movement's
right.
weird.
Yeah.
The enemy's AI is terrible. the plot's bad. The acting's okay.
But apart from
the animation's sort of good, apart from the fact that going between the two, any animation set, you can see the visible join.
So I have to ask, why are you playing this then, if it's all rubbish, it's apart from some of the acting?
It's not rubbish, it's really good.
Okay, okay.
It's just every aspect about the game is not very good.
It's very much more than the sum of its parts, by the sounds of it.
It's weird.
Okay.
The second game's an awful lot better. I can't wait to go on to the second game, but I'm trying to play the first one
is this like a compilation trilogy
thing?
Yeah,
all three.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, but he's just an utter moron. He doesn't see anything coming. Every time he's betrayed or something happens, you're thinking, oh, that's about to happen, isn't it? You should be able to see that coming.
He's not very genre
savvy.
Somebody
just told you that's coming, and you're just grinning like an idiot, aren't you? You don't understand a word I'm saying. You're an idiot. He's just there, land of chocolate.
Is it just push X to get through cutscene and get back to the gameplay, which is good, or...?
Yeah, it's okay.
Is this one of these now I come to explain it to someone else moments?
I may not be enjoying this game.
Good. Yeah. 2.5 stars out of 5.
It probably might
play again.
When you look at it and think, why was this game made? It was made for the cutscene, event moments.
Well, at the time, there was the Mass Effects and Dragon Ages and things all going on, and you know that was very much the direction it was all going, as the big sort of cinematic games as cinema type action
and
adventure.
It does do that incredibly well. It does play very much like...
Does it feel like an Indiana Jones film?
Yeah, it feels like a Saturday morning action serial
thing.
And it does that incredibly well, and an awful lot of the cheesiness, to be fair on it, is because of that, and has to be there because of that.
Is it knowing? Is it on purpose cheesiness, or is it inadvertent cheesiness, which is just funny anyway?
Oh, it's knowing in the way that the genre demands it, so it's doing it.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's not ashamed about it.
If it's trying to be just a sort of mindless action adventure film set in some Inca ruins or something, then sounds like it's probably doing quite well.
Yeah, and the whole series is built on these set piece moments, which are incredibly fantastically big, although it's a little bit weird. And something that's really got me, I think I mentioned it before on the show many years ago when I first played it.
It's the first time we talked about it, isn't it?
The environmental design's a bit wonky.
Mm.
For instance, you know, massive waterfalls going to small puddles, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Where does the water go?
Yeah.
And also, there's a old Nazi U-boat a couple of hundred metres up a mountain, and all Drake can say about that is it must have been put here by a flood. Okay.
Moving swiftly on.
Was it Noah's Flood? Because that's the only one that put that there.
Well, that sounds like a hat tip to Indiana Jones right there, doesn't it? You've got to have some Nazi stuff in there somewhere.
Oh, yeah, you've got to have the Nazis in there,
Even if, you know, it's set in... When is it set? It's a contemporary thing, isn't it? Yeah.
With fabulously now out-of-date Sony equipment like a camera.
Wow.
You know how whenever Sony do a film or a game, all the cameras are Sony branded, all the phones are Sony branded.
Yeah.
It's a corporate
massive
thing
cellular
they have.
Phone.
Yeah, she's carrying around this massive handycam. And
well, it's a period piece, clearly.
It just dated so badly. I'm pretty sure it was out of date then. He says tape.
Tape? What's that?
I don't know. Mm. It's something they used to have in the before time. it's weird. I am much more looking forward to the second game, which legitimately is one of the best games.
Is this the grit your teeth to get through to the good bit then?
Yeah. This is they were working out what they were doing with the game.
Yeah.
And they didn't quite get it.
Well, these franchise adventures tend to be quite up and down until they find their pace and decide what they want to be.
That's the thing. I enjoyed the first one the first time round. I'm not enjoying it the second time. The second one is great. The third one I didn't like.
Mm. Is there a fourth one?
It's coming out later next year.
Right.
And the problem I have with that is the creative staff quit.
Oh.
And I don't know whether or not that means it's going to be a better game or a worse game.
Just have to wait and see.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, it's good. It's definitely worth it. And I do have some caveats about the fact that I keep having to rebuy games that I already own.
Well, yeah, that's always made me cross.
I don't need to buy them. I just am, because I'm an idiot. And
would you say that the Uncharted series has sold PlayStations?
Yes.
Yeah, it's been definitely a reason people have gone out and bought them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a perfect advert for it. And when the fourth one comes out, it's going to sell an awful lot as well.
Okay. That's what you want, I think. If you're particularly if you're going all exclusive with your franchise, it needs to be good enough to then convince people that the exclusivity, which essentially is a kind of barrier, is worth putting up with.
Yeah,
is worth buying into.
And I'm sort of okay with them re-releasing these on the console, because then the games can be playable on the newer consoles. So, you know, all four games will be playable.
I guess there'll be a lot of people who never played the first time round either.
Yeah.
So it's a good way to get it, the ultimate game of the year edition, effectively.
Yeah, and I think it's incredibly good value for it. You can get it for 20-something quid and three
like
massive
a lot of
games.
Hours. Yeah.
Awful lot of that North guy.
But they're not brilliant.
The second one's brilliant.
Okay. Ah, I see. So, yeah, so it's the first one you're having particular problems with at the moment. Yeah. Right, got you.
And I remember having trouble with the third one when I played it, but that was mainly for plot reasons.
Fair enough.
Because the plot was silly and dumb.
They do tend to get
stupid.
Out of control as they go on in the series, yeah.
Yeah. And the second one had the best train ever.
Mm-hmm.
It made the train from Half-Life look bad.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, I remember that Half-Life. Well, the one in the intro that you're on at the start. Oh, brilliant.
That was the best train ride ever in any game up until this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so anyway, it's okay, it's great, and it's not very good, depending on which part of this conversation I'm in.
You're all over the place.
I am, yes.
Excellent. Okay, I'm going to talk about Worm Unlimited, which I picked up after its bold release a few weeks ago, and I think I talked about it on a previous show.
Yep.
But
it's sneaky release.
It's sneaky release. Well, I don't know. I don't think it was ever really going to shake the palaces of the mighty or anything. It's quite a low key thing, even Worm Online, let alone the standalone run your own version of it, offline version. But I've been working away on my little homestead there. I built that house. I think you might have seen clips of that in the last show on the video there. I finished that.
Was that a house? That looked like a shed.
Shed. Yes. It was three squares big.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Quite a big shed.
I've built an out sort of little barn, sort of workshop shed thing with forge in it. I've got like fields. I'm growing rice. I'm growing pumpkins. There's like stone walls all around the outside of my little farm now, and I've got gravel all across the farmyard. I'm quite pleased. It's been surprisingly therapeutic. Very it's not exciting in any sense of the word. Even some of the combat you might be seeing on this bit of video under my talking here is not terribly exciting. You effectively just stand there and it rolls dice and tots up your equipment, scores and stuff.
Occasionally something moves.
Something moves and either you or it dies, and then you can get your butchering knife out and carry on crafting on its corpse.
The first battle I did, I didn't know if the battle was actually happening or not.
I remember talking about it when I was doing my Cheap Seats 2-week free trial of the Worm Online, and I think they must have improved it a bit since then, because back then it was very much like fighting weeping angels, but in like bear form. If you looked at them directly, they didn't move. You turn around and suddenly, wham, it's clawed from behind. So I'm sort of starting to head on out and explore my surrounds. I built myself a suit of chainmail armour, and I've got a long spear. Yeah.
Do not call it chainmail.
Chain? Mail?
Not chain.
What is it?
Just mail.
Mail. I built myself a suit of mail made of chains.
Chain mail is incredibly unhelpful.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. But it is. It's made of chains. You have to make little armour chain sections and then bash them together to make individual pieces. And then not put them on until they've cooled down. See? Rookie mistake.
Yeah.
When they're glowing red, you don't want to be wearing that stuff.
How you make mail.
No.
No.
No. Is this not an accurate game?
No, it's not.
Oh, well. There we go. And I've got my chain mail suit and my long spear, and I've been sort of exploring the surrounds, looking for interesting things, and I found lots of livestock. So I think that might be the next thing: try and like find out how a cow works and put a cow in a field.
Craft
cows to make other cows, because I haven't got any leather. I've got no leather coming in at all. I need fur as well, so I can complete my bed, which will allow me to sleep, which will allow me to have rested XP and bonuses and stuff. And I haven't found any fur either, because pretty much anything that's wearing fur is vastly more powerful than me, and I'm quite scared.
They do tend to be angry.
Yes, bears and the like, typically. I think bears bears was the bottom of the list of things as examples it gave that drop fur. So
rabbits, maybe?
Okay. No, I've killed rats and they drop pelts, but they don't drop fur. And there's like wild cats.
Foxes.
As well. I can just about hold my own against a spider and a wild cat. So, yeah, I need to do a lot more stabbing at my training dummy with a pumpkin on its head.
You should have just left it going and...
Yeah, well, this is the thing. It's an odd way. I'm running a dedicated server of my own, and you connect across via, finger quotes, LAN, but obviously you're just running the client and the server on your same machine, and it can connect to itself. But because I'm turning it all off when I stop playing and shutting down the server as well, effectively, it's like an MMO in which no time passes when I'm not there. It's a very sort of solipsistic kind of experience, you know?
All MMOs are like that.
Everything only exists because I'm looking at it in this world. It's a bit strange. But that means a lot of the designed-in long-term tasks, for example, making charcoal. You need to make charcoal so that you can then make steel out of your iron lumps.
Yeah.
Is that how that works?
Very, very vaguely.
Yeah, okay, just checking. I think you should mark this game. I think you should give it a report. But yes, so obviously everything I've made is iron at the moment, iron tools, iron armour and so on. So I thought, okay, I need to make charcoal. So you have to like lug 20 logs over to a pile and cover it in dirt and set fire to it and stuff. And then it will basically burn down and create charcoal, tar and ash, which are all useful for various different things, over a very long period of time indeed. But that only happens when, you know, the server's running. So my charcoal is taking friggin' ages.
You consider not leaving your computer on overnight?
I might leave the computer on overnight, but then the trouble is all my crops grow then and they'll all go to seed before I can get back and actually harvest them and stuff. It's a weird sort of multi-channel time dilation experience that I need to try and sort out.
Have you considered scheduling software?
Well, once I start macroing it all, then I might as well not be playing at all. So,
No, just you're going to need alarms on your phone to tell you.
Oh, I see. Yeah, sorry, I've got to leave work early today because my crops are ready. Yeah, that sort of thing. I don't know. I'm enjoying it a lot. It is the ultimate crafting game, but one could argue that there is nothing much more beyond the crafting to do in there. There is combat of a sort, but largely that is kind of predetermined by the quality of the gear that you've got and the number of skill points you've got, like any other MMO combat. But it's very old school MMO combat, EverQuest 1 era MMO combat. There's not like a whole bank of massive swirly special attacks you can do. You basically stand there auto attacking, and there might be some special moves. I thought I saw some appear briefly, but you've got to really sort of put in the practice and spend a lot of time doing combat before you get good at the combat. And then, you know, sort of four or five weeks' time, I might be just about ready to try mountain lions and survive, you know? It's that kind of experience. Everything about this game is slow, and there is a kind of appeal to that. There's a kind of sort of pottering patience that is very satisfied by the just working away on a little farmyard, improving things and growing crops. I mean, to be fair, I've now got very well-cooked food instead of the usual starving-to-death experience when I was trying it the first time around all those years ago. I think so much of this game is made better by there not being at, like, every square mile you can see from the spawn point used and locked down by other players, you know? Running it as a solo experience. I don't know if there's group tasks. I was reading about bridge building. You can build quite large bridge structures across rivers or canyons or whatever, and that apparently needs two players, but then I think I could probably just log in multiple times, multiple clients, create new avatars on each one and set that up if I wanted to multi-box it effectively.
Well, multi-boxing on a effectively single player game.
I don't know. I know it sounds odd and it sounds daft, and I probably won't even bother trying to do any of that stuff, but I feel like I'm still in the very, you know, that early stage of an MMO where we're exploring all the mechanics and everything's new and fascinating. I think I've not really reached that, oh god, I've got to grind out 3,000 of these to get any kind of progress done. I'm not sure if I'm making any progress at all towards the adventure mode quest, which essentially is go to the moon and become a demigod. I found a thing called a wild feather, which was a sparkly polyhedron on a beach when I was out exploring. I don't know what it does. Something to do with that, perhaps. Don't know. And I'm not sure how I actively progress that plot either. I mean, I have to go and find something called the key to the heavens. I don't even know. There are some NPCs in the little starter town who every so often like blurt out that such and such artifact is in the southwest or ahead of you and a long way away. So I suppose there's a kind of treasure hunt element there to find widgets, which presumably then contribute towards this overall goal. I don't care. I've built a farmyard. It's fantastic. I need some livestock now. I think chickens. I might look into chickens next. I'm never going to have an allotment in real life. I'm never going to raise real chickens. I mean, I know some people do.
Are you allowed to raise chickens on an allotment?
I don't know. But I don't need to. I got this. It's fine. You know, and then I can just go and buy processed chicken strips from like a fast food place or supermarket, you know.
Processed chicken strips.
Yes, gourmet.
That sounds good. Lovely, doesn't it?
You can use that with breadcrumbs to create processed chicken goujons in breadcrumbs. See, it's crafting. I don't know.
I want chicken now.
So I don't know, it's a strange experience, Worm Unlimited. I sort of had these vague ideas about starting up hosting a server and turning it into a little community thing for dear listener and friends, but I'm just not sure anyone cares. I'm not sure anyone is that interested in this. This could just be a weirdly unique to me thing.
I do
have to check now and then to, you know, calibrate, because I do go off on one and have these odd, weird obsessions that no one else shares.
I think it's not entirely just unique to you. But I also
there's a couple of thousand people playing it on Steam, I think.
But I also think that it's one of those massive games that's really slow and would consume everyone's attention
hugely
if they
niche
were to
thing.
Do anything in it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, certainly you can collaborate on projects. You know, if it takes 50 or so hits with a pickaxe to open a tunnel to do mining, I mean, if 10 of you are chipping away all at once, then you only need 5 hits each, as it were. But that kind of collaboration can happen in there, I guess, but it's just whether people care or are even interested in that kind of gameplay. I think, to be honest, it would have done much better in a world in which Minecraft didn't exist. Because, you know...
It was in a world where Minecraft didn't exist, and it didn't do that well there either.
Yeah, and then one of the blokes who made this thing went away and formed Mojang and made Minecraft, and that's the massive stellar success where everyone can just leap around pickaxing like crazy and building things really quickly and really exercising their imaginations without artificially imposed game limitations on time and resources and stuff. Minecraft is much more freer than that, and so that's why it's more popular. And cutesy. As this is not.
No, this game cannot be described as beautiful.
I don't know if anyone else is even interested in it. I've seen the internet tab on the Connect list for the client has a whole load of servers in there. And yeah, I think there's one called Wyvern, which regularly tops out around 150, 180 players. So that's quite a big one. Then, but after that, it's all like 30, 40, and then mostly twos and threes, and lots of zeros. So I don't think... I think it's an odd single-player MMO experience, which I think will have quite a limited appeal. But I like it.
Yeah.
But I imagine I'll work my way up all the tech trees of it all and get myself a castle and a suit of armour and a horse and a well-run farm and everything, and then just decide I'm probably bored of it and move away, as I often do. You know, once I've explored the game mechanics to my own satisfaction, I tend to sort of drift away from these things.
Yeah.
So there, we'll see. Anyway, over to you.
I'm going to talk about... Well, you know how last week I did Never Alone, which is a worthy game with educational...
Worthy game, yes.
I decided I needed to go for something a lot lighter this week.
Oh, God, here we go.
With absolutely no political message at all.
Yep.
So we went with This War of Mine, which is a game about being survivors in a city... A war-torn city.
Okay.
So it's a side-on 2D scrolling, not quite a platformer.
Yeah.
Where you beautiful pencil art everywhere. Okay. It looks so lovely,
very stylish.
Yeah, very very stylish. Hmm. And you are three guys in a house, and you have to survive.
Okay. How long? Is there a victory condition, or is this one of those grindingly depressing games where you can't win? You're just after high school.
Haven't got to any victory condition, so I believe there isn't one.
Right. So I suppose you could say that's all any of us have to do in life is just survive.
Yeah.
As long as you
can.
The
difference is...
Everyone dies in the end.
Everything in the city is sort of broken down.
Right.
Going to the shops is a completely different experience.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is during the day,
yep.
you do stuff like you do building, you do cooking, you make sure you get purified water.
Uh-huh.
Make sure you've got enough food, water, you make your gear right and everything so that and you build up your house.
Sounds good.
And then come the evening, you send one of your guys off scavenging.
Right.
And so you, from a big map with lots of locations on, you select, I'm going to send him to this apartment.
Okay.
And he goes to that place, and then he goes around, he searches cupboards and stuff and gets as much loot as he can find.
Okay.
So you can take that back and use it in the crafting. And also, for you can eat it, because some of it will be food, and you desperately need food.
Food is important.
Which is where the interesting thing comes in with this game. Because, you know, if you want food, you could go to the supermarket. That sounds like a perfect place.
Yep.
So you go to the supermarket, and it'll have bad guys in there with guns who decided they wanted the supermarket.
So
you could either have a fight and try and get there, in which case odds are you're going to get hurt, or you can give up and go somewhere else. And then you go along to the house somewhere, and you find a quite nice house. It's all pretty much still intact. It's got loads of food in it. Only problem is there's this elderly couple living in it who are completely powerless to stop you.
Okay.
So what do you do?
Yes.
Do you take their food and the medicine from the elderly woman who's quite ill?
Take their food and their medicine, and then bring the pair of them back to the fortified compound you've been building as well. That's what I'd do.
That wasn't an option.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, it basically presents lots and lots of moral quandaries. I had a young lady come along to my house and say, could I move in?
Yeah.
And as I'm wanting to do, I said yes.
Okay.
So now I have an extra pair of hands around the house to do building and
a new
stuff.
New peon in your feudal society.
But I also need more food now.
Sounds interesting.
This is past tense, because unfortunately she, as well as the rest of them, did in fact all die.
Oh.
Because it got to a point where it may not have been enough food.
It sounds interesting.
It's good.
I don't want to have to play it, though, please, thank you.
No, you don't have to play it, don't worry. You do not have to play it. But it is a beautiful game with an interesting set of...
Grinding futility simulator.
It does have a grinding futility to it, but it has interesting moral questions and judgments that you have to make as you go along.
Yes. I think at the first available opportunity, I would sacrifice my life and then walk away feeling rather better about
myself.
But
which one? There's three of them.
All of them. I think we'd all sacrifice everything for the greater good immediately.
Who are you going to kill first?
Me.
But you're,
pick me. No, I've got my hand up.
There's no character for you. You're controlling three characters.
I don't know. I don't want to be in charge of these people. It sounds wretched. It sounds like a fantastic sort of thing to read about. I mean, everyone loves a good post-apocalyptic sci-fi novel, but I'm not sure I'd want to be in charge of keeping them alive or making the decisions or discarding my morality so that I can eke out another wretched day. You know, that doesn't really sound that fun, to be honest. But I don't know. I mean, it sounds interesting. It's one of these, isn't it? It's one of these interesting but not necessarily fun games. You could say it doesn't set out to be fun, and that's fine too. But I do set out to be entertained and to enjoy. So that's where we sort of have
it. It is entertaining me. It is. I am enjoying it. Yeah. I'm enjoying it more than I am Uncharted at the moment, I'll say that.
Fair enough.
But yeah, it's a slightly darker game.
Yeah.
And...
See, the thing is, post-apocalyptic is this particular genre where essentially it is all about futility and about the end of things and about, you know, it's all gone wrong. But there's two sorts of spins you can put on it. Something like Fallout 3, and I suppose Fallout 4, I haven't played it myself, but I'm hearing reports, is a game where everything has gone horribly wrong and everyone's in really bad situation, but you are out there and you are able, with some kind of active agency, to make things better, to start rebuilding society, particularly with this Fallout 3 build up your settlements business. So it's almost like everything's gone wrong, but it can't get worse, and now I'm setting out to make it better. And that's the kind of sort of post-apocalyptic stories I like.
Oh, but this isn't post-apocalyptic. This
sounds like it.
So this is a temporary thing, because your country is at war.
It's the middle of a large-scale enemy.
Yeah.
Okay, right.
And so they're doing stuff like...
it seems very similar sort of thing.
This is the sort of house I want when this is over.
Mm.
They've got the view of, if they can just get through the war, they'll be fine. They'll be able to go back and enjoy peace again.
Okay, but somehow you haven't managed to survive till the war's over.
A couple of weeks.
I don't know.
Quite good to me.
I don't know.
But yeah, no, it
sounds like a fascinating examination of what human beings will be forced to do in extreme circumstances, but I just don't have to come home from a hard day of work and spend a couple of hours trudging through it. That's the problem.
That's the thing. It's about at what point do your... moral decisions go the other way. Where is the breaking point?
Oh, it's easy to be righteous or a good citizen in a stable society where there's plenty for everyone, but yeah, if any of the background starts to go, then you have to adapt to
would you die.
Yeah.
Would you take food from an old couple? Because they're old and they're probably not going
to
live.
It depends
anyway.
How starving I was, I suppose. I'd like to think I wouldn't, but who can tell till you're in that situation.
Exactly. And this is a way to put you in that situation and resolve that thing so you know. So you might as well just start doing it now because you know you can do it anyway.
Yes, that's one thing. That's one way to take.
This may not be the takeaway that I should be taking.
So this has utterly removed any kind of ethical programming you previously had.
Yeah, it's just
well done you.
It's just a
well
facade.
Well done you, utterly unfettered human being.
Civilization's just this facade that is meaningless and doesn't do anything.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm glad you're not currently hungry because, you know, there's a lot of sharp things on that desk and yeah. I'm sat quite close.
Yeah, well, you know, last week I learnt about Native Americans.
Yeah.
This week I learnt that civilization. I don't know what I'm going to learn for next week.
You do seem to be on a bit of a roller coaster with your gaming. Yeah, I like to think that I'm probably somewhat immune to all that because I tend to have a more conventional set of tastes. I built a farmyard and have grown some, like, barley, so that was nice.
And now you're going to steal some chickens for it.
They're wild chickens. Remember, I am the only person in this world, so effectively I am the law and judge and jury and executioner.
You're going to remove the liberty of some chickens.
I've already killed and eaten cats.
Cats?
Wild cats in the mountains. They attack first. They're aggro. They're a little bit bigger, but, you know, recognisably of domestic forebear, yes.
Genetically quite similar.
Quite similar, yeah. But they started it. They attack me. They're aggro. They're red, hostile. See, given no society, cats will go for you.
So, which one of us has been the biggest monster in a game this week?
Oh, damn it. I'm a monster too.
We are, aren't we?
Good.
In Uncharted, I've been killing thousands upon thousands of privately hired
people. Quite angry cats.
Who I'm reasonably sure have been made slightly whiter in the re-release. Because before, everyone was somewhat concerned about the ethnic makeup of everyone you were slaughtering.
Right, right.
Mm. I'm not entirely sure. Either everyone was making too much of it back then, or they've made a change.
Mm.
I'm not sure which. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cat killing then.
Okay.
Bad. Yeah. Mm. You played anything else?
I played Defiance.
Nothing could be wrong about Defiance.
Nothing suspect about that at all, no. Actually, Defiance is quite interesting in that it definitely goes out of its way to try and teach you to get along with alien races. You know, there's a lot of anti-alien nut jobs in this world, mutants mostly, who you end up having to gun down and stuff, and you're trying to get along with these other Votan races. People who've seen the TV series will probably know what any of that means.
Both of them.
Yeah, yeah. So I've been looking, I don't know why I fired it up, I think mostly because I just saw the icon in the launcher when I was on my way through it to get to Rift. See, the old Steam-alike does work.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I had to have installed it first, and I already did have it installed from last time. I quite like Defiance. I think it's got some excellent, to me, it feels like really good, tight, third-person gunplay. I enjoy the way it handles, the clearing out mines of mutants or those wrestling mask psycho nut jobs who keep showing up every time post-apocalyptic times occur.
It's not the best gunplay. It's better than Uncharted's, though.
I don't know. I just like it. I suppose Borderlands 2 is probably more technically accomplished shooter, but the third person charging around with various different interesting guns and shotguns and rifles and sniper rifles and all the rest of it is quite fun. I like the sort of public questy nature of what they've done with the world of Paradise Bay there, of the San Francisco after the weird alien terraforming apocalypse. So you just sort of roam across. I just spend a lot of time roaming across the landscape, just chipping in at various conflict sites that I've done loads before, but you just keep doing anyway. They reset, you have another go. It's good fun. You know, lots of different mines and farms and ranches and the occasional bunker and so on that you're assaulting. So it's all good stuff. I don't know. So you got the Silicon Valley section that they added as part of the season 2 sort of expansion.
You do stuff. Know Silicon Valley isn't a valley.
This is an island in this game.
Wow.
It's like I say, alien terraforming. Yeah. Yeah, a wizard did it.
Was the wizard from the moon?
From the moon, probably, yeah. From another planet, which was like blowing up or like star going nova or something. I don't really know much about the backstory, to be honest, even having seen, you know, the season 1 of Defiance. So, yes, I've been trying some of the Silicon Valley stuff. That stuff is tuned way too high for the average player, though. I don't quite understand what's going on with the scaling or the mentoring or whatever there. But you go to this other island from most of the rest of the game and everything takes about 100 times more headshots to kill.
So, are they wearing hats?
And I check in my little level in the corner because it does go up and down based on how many other people and what level they are around you as well. There's a kind of sort of dynamic scaling thing. And it's a bit off. It's a bit weird. So you find yourself having to really work hard on that bit. So I sort of dabble in there now and then, but mostly just keep roaming around the main launch content, the episode 1 bit, San Francisco and the surrounds. I've tried, so there's episode 3 gone in since I've been there last, season 3, presumably based on third series of the show.
Did you get a third?
Is it ever a third? I don't know.
They got a number.
And then I know there was two. I think there was a third, and then they cancelled it after that. Yeah, so there's not going to be a fourth.
I'm very dismissive of the TV show, and I don't know why.
I've got the first series on box set and did watch it all, and it's okay. It's interesting. It's competent. It felt like it was, you know, gearing up and finding its feet. I have to buy and watch two and three, I suppose, but I guess it was never, because there was something else on at the same time, Falling Skies or Dark Skies or something.
Falling Skies was a different show. Yeah,
there was another show with a broadly similar premise battling for it at the same time. I don't know anything about that one. But that didn't have its own MMO computer game. I mean, they've been doing lots to reassure players that nothing's going to happen to the MMO. Defiance, the game's going to keep going on it in its own way.
Yeah,
and I think, in a way, it'd be good, because you don't have this like tenuous, awkward tie-in to have to do with every time they do some TV show. It can go and do its own thing entirely unconstrained by limited television show special effects budget. So you can always do more jaw-dropping stuff in a computer game than a TV show, I think.
That is true.
So, but season three seems really phoned in to me. I had a look, followed a very, very short quest chain of like two steps, which basically just takes you to Alcatraz Island and then introduces you to the expeditions system they put in, which essentially is you can pick from a list of four different types of unending dungeon. I had a go at the first one. Yeah, you basically just keep going through rooms and corridors, and every so often there's a boss fight, and there's in one of four styles, like the cave, the mining caves, or the underground earth military bunkers near the north end of it all. And it's like reused chunks I recognise from existing dungeon maps. And you just sort of keep going, and eventually you kill a boss and you come back out. And it gives you a half hour timer in which you can like go to the toilet and have a drink, and then before you have to go back and launch off the next one. And basically you just keep going and going and going until, I don't know, you want to bleed, your eyes start falling out of your head or whatever. It's not good. It very much reminds me of the instant adventure system in Rift, which essentially is just put me in a queue and give me tasks to do until I can't stand anymore and want to stab my own legs with a fork. You know, they sort of leave it up to you to decide when you've had enough of the adventure and the fun. And, you know, MMO gamers being well known for their restraint and short-measured gaming planning. Yeah, I don't know. I guess it might be quite fun with a group, but it's got that sort of fake procedural feel to it, you know?
Yeah.
It's very much like the missions in City of Heroes. Everyone loves City of Heroes, can't say a bad word about it, of course, but the mission design had to be... Yeah, well, if you were solo in City of Heroes, it wasn't a great game.
The game hated me.
Well, that and the fact that everywhere you went, the Rikti turned up to bomb you from space, which was weird. I was talking to long-term veterans of that game who'd never seen anything like that either. It was odd. So, yeah, it seems like Season 3 largely consists of a kind of instant adventure, endless dungeon mode that you can just keep working away. Every third floor is a boss fight, and then it cranks up the ranking to the next one up, and then off you go again on a largely similar thing. And the whole thing ends if you walk away from it for longer than half an hour. So, and that needs special tokens, and I can't quite. It gave me a few special tokens as quest rewards for the, you know, for actually going and looking at the thing. But I got a feeling that's probably another entry for cash shopping. You know,
yeah.
You can have a go at this new thing, but you'll need some special stuff. I think it might give you a certain number of tokens a week anyway. I don't know. It seemed a bit disappointing. I was hoping for something a bit more, you know, cinematic, a bit more narrative. But no, it just sort of ushers you into a never-ending, meaningless dungeon crawl, which presumably you can get loot and so on from. I don't mind. I'd pop back out again, back onto Paradise Bay, Madeira and San Francisco, all those bits there. There's lots of things, lots of achievements in there as well that, you know, I haven't finished filling in. Some of the meta achievements that give you cool outfits need several different other achievements, and the ones I'm missing from most of those are the driving ones. I like the driving in there, but I'm just not very good at driving games anyway, which means that it's quite tricky for me to do the time trial silver medals you need to tick off the achievements. But that's something I can chip towards. And they do daily contracts, so they'll basically every daily and weekly contracts, so once a, you know, every day and every week they'll highlight particular conflict sites it wants you to go and do, and that's just an excuse to go and play gameplay that I enjoy anyway. And you get faction points, which lead to something or other. I don't know. There's a vendor somewhere. There's some staff, some things. It's all good. Good times. Love it.
Progress. I don't count the progress. Just leave
me an unlabeled progress bar and I'll be happy, frankly. But I just like the moment-to-moment gameplay in there. It's very much like Rift. That's why I keep, you know, plugging through. You know, ostensibly I've finished Rift a long time ago. I got 65, you know, but I still potter about in there because I just like the moment-to-moment gameplay. And that has got to be the thing that is... makes or breaks a game, you know. I'd tried a bit of Assassin's Creed Black Flag. I'd not touched that for about 3 weeks or so, and I got one. You know, to begin with, I was stuck in front of a fort that just kept kicking my ass.
That was your own fault.
I know, I'm attacking the wrong fort, I haven't got enough gear, whatever. So I went round it to the next mission thing, I found myself in Kingston, there's some stuff, I've got to follow a bloke through some streets while they talk.
The world's best Assassin's Creed mechanic.
Eavesdropping, yeah. And then I've got to chase a bloke across some rooftops, and I keep buggering up the leaps between buildings and the parkour's irritating me, and you hold the trigger to run towards the target and he'll immediately leap onto a nearby fence post and stop.
Yeah,
it's like, ah, I just hate this game.
If you could leap onto a fence post like that, yeah, and balance,
yeah,
you would do that at every opportunity.
I suppose I would,
look
but,
at me.
Yeah, exactly, but not when I'm trying to chase someone or walk to a shop, you know. So I just rage quit that. I've given up with Black Flag.
Wow.
Yeah, screw it.
It's a bit mean.
Yeah, I don't care.
You don't even take out the legendary ships yet.
No, and I probably won't either. I really lost interest in it. I've gotten tired of the whole Assassin's Templars thing. I get irritated by Uplay firing up every time I click the icon. That makes me cross at the start of my gaming session time, which is not good. And then, you know, it's all slick Facebook wall-style menu, and in we go. And look, it's an important thing in history, some widget, blah, blah, Assassin's Templar. And I just get so fed up with how po-facedly serious it is about itself, you know. And then the gameplay, I've lost interest in that anyway. I just want the key. I just give up. I get shouted at for climbing on a roof. You're doing that to wind me up, haven't you?
I've started.
Yeah. So you get shouted at for climbing on a roof, and I don't climb down quick enough, so he starts shooting at me. So I get angry, and then I start just... Basically, 15 minutes later, there are 300 people dead on the streets of Kingston, and I'm just stood there with a sword in each hand, shouting at the sky, you know? And that's not really the way to be an assassin.
That reminds me, it's the works Christmas due soon.
Anyway, I haven't even got any footage for that, so I'm going to have to replay some old footage that I brought before.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, so there are certain games where the moment-to-moment gameplay is just a joy, and it doesn't matter if how long it is or whether it's an arbitrary progress bar or whether you've got the special magic tokens to get anywhere. Just doing the thing is fun. And those are the games to look out for.
Yes.
Many games, doing the thing is not very fun, but you feel compelled because, you know, blah, 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 epic award-winning story.
I think that maybe we shouldn't be playing those games anymore. Yeah, those games may not be any good.
Doing the thing is not fun. Yeah. Yes. Don't play games where doing the thing is
if
not fun.
If game is not fun, don't...
If doing the thing is fun, play that game. Doesn't matter if it's like the fourth instalment in a franchise or it's top of the ranking
like
on
Halo.
Steam or whatever.
I played 27 Halo points in this game, so God damn it, I'm going to play the next one.
Well...
Actually, no, I We, got it's halfway very easy. Through a we couple get, of games ago.
We get sucked in, I don't know, I get sucked into games I feel I should like, but don't because everyone else likes them, or it's the big top seller of whatever era, you know. But if doing the thing is fun, then play that game. Otherwise, don't play that game.
Yeah.
I think I ought to stop there with some semi-profound wisdom before I stop blathering on about something else.
Yeah, I just open up my Uplay, and because
Uplay
Uplay is so rubbish and yes. hides stuff away. I've just remembered I was playing through Far Cry 4, wasn't I?
You got a lot of games in there. You must be particularly irritated by Uplay.
I haven't got that many games.
13.
Yeah, most of them are Assassin's Creed, though.
There's a lot of Assassin's Creed and Far Cry. Cries, yeah,
and some Splinter Cells.
Mm.
And also, of course, Watchdog.
Yeah, and you've got like some thing. What does that bar even mean? Are you level 36? I don't know. What does that mean?
I don't know. It's one of the reasons I like Uplay, because the achievements are rubbish.
Means nothing.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is not great radio.
Actually, one of the things about Uplay is the achievements it has in them, there are a lot less of them. And so they annoy me less.
I suppose.
If you've only got 6 achievements in a game, that's still 6 too many.
And yeah, I love achievements when they're within the context of the game itself.
Oh, if they're
If they're achievements that have been designed by the person who also designed the game, they're generally quite relevant. Pointing you at parts of the game you perhaps missed.
Yeah, but no,
rewarding you for being good at parts of the game.
Even those I've decided are evil and need to go.
Yeah, I suppose.
They need to be eradicated from gaming.
I use it as a sort of parallel XP bar once I've finished the main story of a thing. But yeah.
Achievements is what killed the Dreamcast.
You reckon?
No, not at all. They good. Came after.
Have you got anything else to talk about?
No, I'm all just right, making up wild computer history.
Do
now.
Your spiel.
You can go along to howtomurdertime.com. I might get a shorter URL. Mm. Where you can find all our previous episodes. And you can, if you really wanted, look and see which previous episodes we've talked about these games and see that our opinions have changed massively.
Yeah.
You can also go along to YouTube, where I can see a video version of this show, as
you
well
can
as
see
our
me being
stuff.
Stalked by spiders and trying to cook a meal.
Yeah.
Good times.
And you can see me possibly doing nasty people to old people to get their food. And you can also catch our co-op adventures.
Oh, yeah. That's how's that going, do you think?
By the time this is up, badly.
I think we're doing well, but I have no idea how or why.
Yeah. Well, I think the big problem is there was at least one episode we recorded where we did just one room. And I'm dreading the first one, which takes longer than 20 minutes.
So we'll have to do some creative fading or something at that.
We're not very good at it.
It's taking a while to get the thinking with portals thing. And by the time we've worked out to think with portals, it'll be gels anyway.
Yeah.
God damn it.
It's nearly gels. It'd be gels soon. Not for the listener, but for us. I might put them out 2 a week because I feel like not that anyone's watching them. Go on and watch
Double
it, please, because we put an awful lot of love and attention into this and we aren't just messing around on a Tuesday night
it
playing games.
Pretty phoned in, I have
it
to
is
say.
Pretty, yeah. So, yes, and with that, we'll see you next week.
Goodbye.